A college chaplain shared the story one time. He was meeting with a group of students in one of the dorms at the university, and they had asked him to lead in a discussion of Christian worship. The time came for the meeting, and the chaplain sat there and was greeted with just a bunch of zombie-like stares. So he was eager to try to get the students into the subject, to try to somehow get them started talking about worship. And so off the top of his head, he asked them, "Those of you who have seen Christians at worship, what would you say is the strangest thing that you've seen? And you can't mention the guy wearing the dress." After a few moments of pause and thinking, an undergraduate spoke up and said, "I think the weirdest thing is when at the beginning, in that opening parade," and the chaplain said, "The processional, yeah, whatever they call it, where they bring in that great big book." And the chaplain said, "The Bible." And the student said, "Yeah." And they bring it up and they put it on the lectern, and you can see the person who brings it in sort of turn to the clergy and say, "Here, work from this." That's just weird. And to some people, it is weird that we would gather to hear the stories and the words of a book that was written so long ago. But there's something important in that practice. There's something important in hearing the stories. A sign on the Winchester Cathedral in England, just as you enter the church, says, "You are entering a conversation that began long before you were born and will continue long after you are dead." We enter into a story when we gather here on Sunday mornings, when we hear the stories, when we find our place in the stories, when we use those stories to propel us outwards. Last week, we talked about faith being a journey, a confident wandering, about faith being filled with hope, not always achieving the goal, but hoping, trusting in God's promises even when they aren't fulfilled for us. The writer of Hebrews continued after talking about Abraham in our passage last week to go on and talk about other stories, other people, heroes from Scripture. By faith, he started each story. By faith. Perseverance is not an easy thing for us. The Ironman triathlon, for those of you that aren't aware, begins with a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike ride, and a 26.2-mile marathon, all done consecutively, back-to-back, without a break. Sometimes the journey of life of the Christian faith can seem like an Ironman marathon. The writer this morning encourages us, after recounting these faith stories, encourages us to run the race, encourages us to join in the journey, to join in the story, to enter into the conversation, but not just to follow in footsteps, not just because we're supposed to. We are encouraged to run the race because of all those who have gone before us. The writer puts it this way: because you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I thought about that for a moment, the image that's being set up. Now, when we go to sporting events, most of us go to sporting events to cheer people on because there's no way we could do what they're doing, right? We don't go to cheer them on because we've competed at such a high level. We go to cheer them on and to live vicariously through them, to feel the excitement of competition, to be able to win, not because we won the competition, but because the person we were rooting for won. And yet this is a different imagery. This is us being surrounded by all those who have journeyed in the faith before us, who have encountered the same struggles that we've encountered, had to climb the same hills and endure the same valleys. Because you are surrounded, we are told, run the race. The writer of Hebrews referred exclusively to Old Testament stories, or it's believed those stories from the intertestamental period during the Maccabean revolt, those 400 years of history between the Old Testament and the New Testament. All the allusions he makes can all be tied into people of faith and what they encountered in those stories. But the witnesses didn't stop with the stories this person shared. By faith, Stephen, for the faith, suffered the stoning of those who were around him and became the first Christian martyr. By faith, Joan of Arc, at least from the story told in the movie starring Lily Sobieski, was able to, as the flames were being put to the fire under her feet, was able to look up to God and not say, help me, not say, save me, not say, oh Lord, but say, thank you. By faith, Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, during the English Reformation, were able to endure all the persecution they endured for trying to keep the church on track, for trying to fight those that wanted to make the church something they didn't believe it should be. By faith, they were able to endure the persecution and were able to be faithful even up to the point where they were strapped, tied to the same piece of wood. And by faith, as they were about to be burned at the stake, Hugh Latimer looked at Nicholas Ridley and said, be of good heart, Brother Ridley, for God will either assuage the fury of the flames or else strengthen us to abide it. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England that it shall never be put out. By faith. By faith, Bishop Oscar Romero from Salvador in El Salvador advocated for the poor and the oppressed, advocated for social justice in a country that was very unjust, even against threats of assassination, threats of his own life as he was caught between a battle between the left-wing government and the right-wing government. By faith, he continued to celebrate the Mass, knowing one day that it may result in the end of his life, which it did as he was assassinated while celebrating the Mass one day. All of these people were able to persevere, to see things through to the end in face of great odds by faith. As I read the stories this week in Hebrews, and as I gathered these stories together, I realized something, however, is oftentimes when we gather the heroes of faith and when we tell their stories, it can make us feel like we're losing. Most of us aren't asked to die for our faith, to be a martyr for what we believe is right. Most of us won't have to feel the flames lapping at our feet because we refuse to renounce our Christian beliefs. And it's probably a good thing, because I don't know if most of us could live up to the standard that so many of those who have gone before us have set. I had a seminary professor who I became dear friends with, Professor Don Boyd, and during one of our classes we were talking one day, and he said he believed that if it became a death punishment for being a Christian, the first week, at least one-third of those who were in our pews would not be there. And probably by the second week, another third would be gone. Because keeping the faith all the way through death can be difficult. But then I realized something else. This passage tells us to run the race. It doesn't necessarily say we have to win. It doesn't necessarily say we have to come in first. It doesn't necessarily say we have to exhibit more faith than anybody else who has ever gone before us. There are those giants of the faith, those giants that were recounted in Hebrews, those giants that I've just told you about, other stories that may be popping through your mind. But I'm also reminded of Therese of Lisieux. Therese, although she was eventually named a saint, had a much different view of herself, because she too would look around at all the people she knew who were doing great things for God, who exhibited incredible amounts of faith, especially in the face of persecution. And while pondering this, she wrote this: "For a long time I had wondered why God had preferences, why he did not give the same degree of grace to everyone. I was rather surprised that he should pour out such extraordinary graces on great sinners like St. Paul and St. Augustine and so many others, almost forcing his grace upon them, so to speak. I was rather surprised, too, when reading the lives of the saints, to find our Lord treating certain privileged souls with the greatest tenderness from cradle to grave, removing all obstacles from their upward path to him, and preserving the radiance of their baptismal robe from the stains of sin. Also, I wondered why so many poor savages died without even hearing our Lord's name. And Jesus chose to enlighten me on this mystery. He opened the book of nature before me, and I saw that every flower he has created has a beauty of its own, that the splendor of the rose and the lily's whiteness do not deprive the violet of its scent, nor make less ravishing the daisy's charm. And I saw that if every little flower wished to be a rose, nature would lose her spring adornments, and the fields would be no longer enameled with their varied flowers." She came to be called the little flower because of this vision, this insight. And I think there's something in that, because if we were to just measure ourselves against the greatest saints, although it's important for us to know and to hear those stories and to know that it is possible to face incredible persecution and incredible obstacles and not give up the faith, sometimes the race we are called to run isn't quite as arduous. And yet we are still called to run, to live in faith, to finish the race, to keep encountering whatever it is God calls us to encounter. One day, somebody may look at us and say, "By faith, that person taught Sunday school for 40 years and never complained." And that may be what someone needs to hear at that point in their life. "By faith, that person continued to come to church even when they could barely walk." And maybe that's the story of a saint that someone else needs to hear. "By faith, a young mother came and wrestled with her 3 or 4 children every Sunday in order that they might be brought up in the faith." There are so many ways that we live in faith. And those stories that we have shared are meant not to make us feel bad about how our faith might not measure up, but they're meant to encourage us to run the race. As Paul said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." And that's what we are called to do, to see it through to the end. Sure, there's going to be times we don't fail. I don't know what the statistics are, but I always thought whenever we have a list of saints, for every saint that fought the fight, that finished the race, that exhibited incredible faith, there was probably, what, maybe 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 that we don't hear of. And yet they too lived lives of faith. They too trusted in God. They too had hope that God's promises would come true even when it seemed impossible. So brothers and sisters, keep the faith. Keep marching along the journey. Keep trusting in God to get you through whatever God may throw your way. and never lose sight of the hope we have, the hope we have in Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Christ our Lord invites to